Well, good evening, everybody, and particularly if you're a visitor among us tonight, it's great to have you with us, and I hope that you find our meeting tonight and the looking at God's Word something helpful for you. What you've got in your hands, if you are a visitor, is that this is actually part of the Bible. So the Bible's here, but in order for everyone to have their own copy, we've just printed out an individual sheet. So you will need that sheet tonight to follow along with what I'm going to be doing. So this is part of the Bible, and I'm going to be going through it and going through that story that we just looked at then, and that we just had on the video. Well, asking questions about God. Asking questions about God. People can ask questions in different ways, can't they? Somebody may ask the question, how do you know God exists? Out of genuine interest, actually wanting to know. Though other people might ask it as a way to actually avoid God. Somebody might ask the question, why does God let bad things happen? Why is there suffering in the world? Again, you can ask that for good reasons, because you're suffering and you want to make sense of life and make sense of God at the same time. And so you ask that question in a genuine way. But of course, people can also ask that question to avoid God. So I hope you can see there's different questions we can ask where we can use the question to avoid God or sometimes to be genuine. Now, what we see today as Jesus speaks to this Samaritan woman is that she asks this question. She makes this statement to Jesus about what's the right way to worship God. She says the Jews go to Jerusalem to do it. The Samaritans had another place that they went to. And when she learns who Jesus is or starts to understand that he's a man of God, she asks the question, what's the right way to worship God? And that's a great question, isn't it? That's a question of somebody who is not trying to avoid God, but it's the question of someone who's genuine and wants to do the right thing by God, that they want to serve God. And that's what I'm hoping you'll be like tonight. I hope that as we come around God's Word together, that you won't just be saying, I've got my questions, I've got my comments, and I'm really just trying to avoid God, but instead that you'll be open, you'll be honest, you'll be coming to the Bible and asking the questions of, you know, I want to find out about God. I want to find out. I'm not trying to avoid God. So that's where we're going tonight. We're going to be looking at this question that this lady is going to ask, and I'm going to sort of lead us into that as we go through the scriptures together. Now, before we look at Jesus and this Samaritan woman, I just need to give you a little bit of context. You can see in your notes there that it says John chapter 4, verses 1 to 54. Now, what's happened in the previous two chapters is that Jesus has gone up to Jerusalem. He's gone up to Jerusalem and he went to the temple, which was the main place of worship. And he went into that temple and people were selling animals and sacrifices right in the place where people were meant to be worshiping. And so he made a whip and he drove all the animals out and he overturned the money changers' tables and he drove them out and said, you know, this is meant to be a place of prayer, and but you're turning it into a place of business. He said that they'd corrupted the worship of God. But then he went further and started to talk about being born again and how if you really want to worship God, you need God to work in your life. And so he's been correcting the people in Jerusalem for their corrupt worship, but he's also been preaching the new worship. He's actually said that he is the temple. He is the place where God and man meet. And that you need to be born again. You need to have a new experience of God if you want to worship God. So I hope you can see that in the previous two chapters, he's been preaching the new worship of God that he is bringing. That's what he's been preaching in Jerusalem. He went up and said, you guys don't have the worship of God. I'm bringing the new worship of God. I'm bringing the proper worship of God. The worship of God by the work of the Spirit in bringing people to be born again. He's been in Jerusalem and now he's heading home north and he's got to walk. I believe it's about a 100-kilometer walk to get home. So that's a fair hike. And he's walking home, and as he walks home, they're obviously stopping and getting water along the way. And that's where we're up to here. That's where we're up to. So please read with me as we now look at these verses. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. So here we see Jesus tired, worn out from the journey. We see that he's a genuine man in this. And he's waiting, and his disciples go into town to get some food for them into this Samaritan village. And then we see what happens is this woman comes out to the well to get water. Verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So here we have these two groups, two nationalities. One are called the Jews, the other are called the Samaritans. Now, historically, they had been one group of people. Historically, they'd been one group of people. But what had happened was that their kingdom had divided, had split, and the northern part of the kingdom, where the Samaritans were, had been conquered by the Assyrians. And the Assyrians brought people from other countries and other gods and put them in with those people who were Jews, Israelites, in the north. And so the people in the north now weren't fully Jewish anymore. Now they'd sort of corrupted the worship of God, and so they'd become two different peoples. And so we see here that this Samaritan woman says to Jesus, "Why are you asking me for a drink? Samaritans and Jews don't associate with each other." Now, in the original language that the Bible was written, it actually says that they don't share cups together. They don't share cups. You know, you don't drink with each other. And so, of course, she's got her cup, her bucket, and we don't share drinking things and eating things. We don't eat together because we worship God differently. Now, I guess for us, we might be troubled when we hear that in the Bible, that there are some people who don't get on with each other because of how they worship God. It's the type of thing that I think for many of us, we might feel a little uncomfortable with. Doesn't matter how you worship God, you should be able to do whatever you want and we get on well. But we see here that this is not the case here. They took the worship of God very seriously. And they said, if you worship God wrongly, then we've got a problem. We can interact in some ways, but we can't really drink cups and, you know, enjoy food and that type of thing together. And so that's the issue that they've got. And so Jesus asks her for a drink, and she says no, basically. She doesn't give him one. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now here Jesus speaks about a gift from God. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that gives it to you. What Jesus is bringing up here is that there are people in this world, there are many people, and certainly as Jesus was beginning to make himself known, people don't know what God has done for them. People don't know what God has got planned to give to people. People think that they've got to earn their way to God, that they've got to be good enough, that they've got to hopefully do enough good things. People don't know about the gift that God has installed for this world. And with the coming of Jesus, this gift of God, this free gift, is about to be given to the world. And so this woman, she doesn't understand, she doesn't know about the gift of God, and she doesn't know the one who is speaking to her. And Jesus says, if you knew who I was, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water. It's important to know who Jesus is, isn't it, from this? I can remember being at school, and I wasn't a Christian when I was at high school, but I can remember I had a Christian physics teacher, and I was really impressed by the way she lived. She was known as a Christian, and I was impressed by her life. She had something that I wanted, but I never heard the gospel. I didn't actually come to know who Jesus was. I could just see the effects of God in her life. And this is what Jesus is getting at here, that you actually need to come to know who he is. And it may be that you're like this woman, that you don't know who Jesus is yet. You don't know this gift that he's come to bring. Well, let's keep reading and see how this woman comes to find out who Jesus is. Verse 11, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" So she asked the obvious question. You've got no bucket. You've got no rope to hold it down, to draw the water out from the well. So first of all, you don't have the tools required. And are you saying that you're greater than our father Jacob? Now, who is Jacob? Well, Jacob was the father of both the Jews and the Samaritans. So he's their common father. And he was the one who put his faith in God and wrestled with God and was the man of God. He's the father of the nation. From him come the 12 tribes of all of Israel. So he's the common ancestor of the Jews. And she's saying to Jesus, "You don't think you're better than Jacob, do you, who gave us this well?" Now remember that Jacob's well is what the Samaritans have. And that's a pretty impressive thing to have, isn't it? You imagine if you went and you drank from, if you're a Christian here, you went to the very place where Jacob drew water and gave it to his flocks. That'd be an impressive thing, wouldn't it? To go to Jacob's very well. And so this Samaritan woman, she's actually got some religious credentials here for having the true worship of God, because we've got Jacob's well. Now, you know, you might have your own religious credentials. You might say, "My parents are devout Christians. That's my Jacob's well. That's my link back to the things of God. My parents are, you know, devout believers." Or, you know, I'm from Nepal, where Buddha came himself. I've been to Nepal, where Buddha himself went. Or, you know, I've been to Mecca, where Muhammad was. You see, this woman had something impressive that she could say to Jesus, "I've got Jacob's well. I draw water from the well that our ancestor gave to both the Jews and the Samaritans." Well, Jesus. That's not very good, is it? It's now dead. No, it's working. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now, Jesus, you can see he's no longer talking about water in a well, is he? He's talking about eternal life now. He's actually talking about the water of life. He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about something different. And he makes this promise here that whoever drinks the water that he gives will never thirst. This is the promise that Jesus makes to you, that if you come to him and receive the free gift that he gives, you will be satisfied. You will never thirst again. In fact, it says that when you come to Jesus and receive the gift that he gives, that it's going to become a spring of water going out of you to other people, that the gift will go to others as well. Now, what does he mean here? What does he mean by this type of satisfaction? Because it's a big promise that he's making here, isn't it? He's actually promising eternal life. He's saying that the gift of God is not something you earn, but eternal life is something that's given to you as a free gift. It's not something you earn by trying to do good works. I've had the great joy of seeing some Muslims become Christians. And when they become Christians, they understand this free gift really carefully, really clearly. And if I can have the slide, please. Just have a listen to what Muhammad is instructed to say in the Quran. This is what he says: "I am not something new among the messengers, and I do not know what will be done with me or with you. I only follow what is revealed to me. I am only a warner." You see, Islam has no gift of God. Islam has no salvation. There is no salvation. Here is Muhammad. And what's Muhammad saying? "I do not know what will be done with me or with you." In fact, when Muhammad was at a funeral, it said Allah's apostle, Allah is their name for God, was at a funeral, and he said, "As for him, by Allah, death has come to him. By Allah, I wish him all good from Allah. By Allah, in spite of the fact that I am Allah's apostle, I do not know what Allah will do to me." So we can turn that off now. I hope you can see how when a Muslim reads that, you imagine when the main leader of your religion says, "I don't know what's going to happen to me." He hasn't drunk from the water of life, has he? He doesn't know. He hasn't got the gift of God. He's still hoping that God will have mercy upon him. Now, this is not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is actually saying here that whoever comes to him will never thirst again. That whoever comes to him will know exactly what will happen to them. And that's because of the gift that Jesus gives them, the gift of complete salvation. We're going to find out more about that as we keep going. So let's keep going here. Verse 15. You can see that the woman still doesn't understand this. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." You can see how she's is still thinking about the water in the well. And obviously it's a nuisance to have to come out and get water from the well. It would be better to have water that didn't run out or something like this. But she doesn't understand what Jesus is speaking about. And just at that point, I actually want to say, it actually sometimes takes a while to understand what Jesus is talking about. If you're a Christian, you're reading the Bible, it's not something that you just read once and you get it all. You can hear the words of Jesus, and in time, you come to understand them better and better. And as you read them throughout your life, the Word of God actually grows and you understand it deeper and deeper all the time. Which is why you need to keep reading your Bible. So this woman doesn't get it at first. And so now Jesus switches tack. Instead of speaking about himself, because she's not getting that, he's going to speak about her. And so he says to her, verse 16, he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. He said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet." So Jesus asks this woman this question, and it's to help her to understand the gift, isn't it? Help her to understand him. And he says, "Go call your husband," and then we find out that she's had five husbands, and the man she's living with now is not her husband. And so this is something today that you would see of a Hollywood wife or some influencer or someone living that sort of scandalous lifestyle in the, being written up in the gossip magazines. But when she hears what Jesus has got to say, she knows now that somehow or other she's dealing with God. And this is actually something really important, that when we come to Jesus, we start to find out about ourselves. When we come to Jesus, when we come to God, we start to learn things about ourselves, and it helps us to understand where we stand before God. And this woman's starting to see this now. And she says to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet." That is, I can see that you speak for God. You're connected to God in some way. She's still learning. And so she asks this question. "Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." And here's the question that I began with. She's now saying, what's the right way to worship God? Do we worship God by following what the Samaritans say? Or do we worship by doing what you Jews say? And that's not a bad question, is it? There are many different religions in this world. Should you be following Islam? Should you be following Judaism? Should you be following Christianity? Should you be following Buddhism? Should you follow an indigenous religion? This is the type of question she's asking here. And she's not doing it to avoid God. She's doing it because she genuinely wants to know. And then Jesus gives her this answer. "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor on Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." Now, Jesus does something very radical here. He says the Jews go up to Jerusalem, and the true worship of God's not there. You Samaritans go to your own mountain, it was called Gerizim, and he goes, the true worship's not there. He says, I'm bringing a new way of worshiping God. And it's not to do with going to various locations. As we keep reading the apostles of Jesus and Jesus in the Gospels, we see it's not about going to a different location. It's not about going to Mecca. It's not about going to Jerusalem. It's not about going to the Ganges River. It's not about going to Nepal or anywhere where Buddha was. It's not about different foods. It's not about eating this food or not eating that food. It's not those things that we do. It's about what God has done for us. You can see how Jesus is overturning here all of our religious practices, our pilgrimages to this space, to that place, to all the things that people have done in their religions to worship God. I don't eat this food to worship God. I do eat this food to worship God. I go to this place to worship God. Jesus is now saying that's not the true worship of God. In fact, what he says is, it's now the work of the Spirit of God in your life. Earlier on, Jesus has spoken of this as being born again and called it the gift of God. Now, what is this gift? Well, it's the gift of himself that he's going to be giving for us. It's the gift that he gives when he gives the Holy Spirit to us. It's the gift that he gives to us when he dies on the cross to pay for our sins. This is the gift of God. It's Jesus and what he has done for us, not what we have done for him. Now, I don't know if you've accepted this gift from Jesus, but this is what the true worship of God is. The true worship of God is not about what you do. The true worship of God is about what God has done for you, what Jesus has done for you. As I said, he lived that righteous life. He died that death in our place. And he gives us his Spirit so that what he did is for us. And his Spirit joins us to him, and what he did is for us. I want to ask you, have you received the gift of God? Have you put your faith in what Jesus has done for you? Because this is what Jesus is speaking about when he talks about the water of life, and that those who come to him will never thirst. Let's continue. Then the woman said to him, "I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, am him, am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with the woman. But no one asked him, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to her town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. So here we see that this woman now has gone and told the town about Jesus. And so they come out to him. And then we'll go down to here. Verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. So here we see that the people around her and from her village were impressed by her words. I mean, she didn't say that much. She just said, "He told me everything I ever did." And let me assure you that your words to your friends around you count. If you're a Christian, the words that you speak to how God has worked in your life are impressive, just like that school teacher. When I saw that school teacher, she pointed me and her way to Jesus. And that's what this woman does here. And these people, they come out and they want to know more about Jesus, don't they? They come out and they say, come and stay with us. And that's what I want to ask you to do today, to say, Jesus, come and stay with me. Jesus, I want to find out more about you. Now, the way you do it is, obviously, he's not going to come to your village. But the way you do it is by getting the Bible yourself. We've got some Bibles up the back here that we'll give you. And find out about Jesus' life. Watch the Jesus movie yourself. You can watch that video we had up there. Or you can read some of the Bible yourself. Or you can come along to the Introducing God series that we're going to be running next week. But I want you to be like these Samaritans, like these people here. They encounter Jesus. They see that he's someone that they need to find out more about. And then they invite him to come and stay with them so that they can find out more about him for themselves. So I'll finish up there for tonight with that invitation to you. If you're a visitor with us tonight, make tonight to be the time when you find out more about Jesus and the gift of God and what he has done for you. Amen.